As promised, we have our very special guest, Dr. Janice Ellis, on the line. She's the author of From Liberty to Magnolia, In Search of the American Dream. Dr. Ellis, how are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you, Jean. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. What a privilege to talk to you. And you've put your life journey basically down in these pages. Tell us a little bit about what caused you to write the book.
Well, I looked at my life, and I have, you know, from time to time, I tell everyone it's really good that we examine ourselves and see what our purpose is in life. And I've had a remarkable journey as a Black and as a woman. And I thought, if I'm able to share my trials and triumphs with women and minorities, what a good thing that would be, because I'm hoping that the book will be not only enlightening, but inspirational and uplifting.
Well, let's talk about where you started out so folks kind of understand how what a great journey you've had. So tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I was born on a small cotton farm in Mississippi during the height and grew up during the height of the Civil Rights Movement and the Women's Liberation Movement. And, of course, back then, Mississippi was pretty much the hotbed of racial segregation, oppression, and really fear and danger. And so I grew up there during that time. And at first, initially, I must say that I was caught up and really felt firsthand the civil rights movement. And it really wasn't until I went to college that I felt the impact of the women's liberation movement. But during my childhood, I witnessed firsthand the Klan burning crosses on our lawn because my dad was a member of the NAACP and registered blacks to vote. And I also, of course, became aware when my classmate's father was murdered because he was sort of leading the initiative to get blacks to register to vote. And for those of you who have seen the PBS documentary, Freedom Riders, Herbert Lee Sr. is actually featured on that documentary, and he is the person that I'm speaking of.
That must have been so frightening for you as a child.
Well, yes, it was. You know, there was a time when my mom would actually get my brothers up at night. My dad had this little 40-a-week job at a box factory to supplement raising seven kids. And she would, you know, get my brothers up to meet him at the road at night so that no harm would come to him. But, you know, at the same time, I tell my story because I think there's a bigger story. And the bigger story is we can never judge a whole race of people by the few. Imagine if I saw white people based upon the very oppressive experiences of my childhood and that of my parents and my siblings. And I don't. And that is the message. I want to say, you know, we are all 99.9% alike, and we need to kind of get rid of a lot of the stereotypes, face our history, acknowledge our history, but let's move forward.
Well, let's talk about some of your accomplishments. Explain to folks what your career life has been like.
Well, when on the farm, my dad discovered very early I have a phobia for worms, and I scared him so much one day until he ordered me out of the cotton field. And so I delved into books because I felt like I needed to do something to contribute and make my parents proud. And so I delved into books. And actually, that was the beginning of what changed my life. I managed to get scholarships to do my undergraduate work in college. I integrated Millsaps College, which was a predominantly white college in Jackson, Mississippi. And from there, I went to the University of Wisconsin and earned both my master's and my Ph.D. And, you know, my mom says, who died last summer at 101, said that I'm driven, and I probably am because I saw all of those things as a stepping stone to continue to try to change, to make things better, and to be an example. So after getting my education, I walked into WISN Radio, the largest ABC affiliate in Wisconsin and asked to do my own commentary. And they granted me that. I did it for 2 years. And so I've had great jobs in corporate America, in government, as I have written a column on race, education, politics for the last 30 years.
Well, were you surprised to find some difficulties as being a woman after having come through the experiences you had as a child? Were you disappointed and surprised to now find that also being a woman was going to cause you maybe some issues?
Yes, you know, I tell people that, you know, we overlook the fact that it's one thing to be black, it's one thing to be woman, it's quite another to be both, because I have, during my career, as you imagine, broke down some barriers. I've walked into many rooms, and I wondered which was most detrimental, you know, my being black or my being a woman. And I'll tell you how they have sort of materialized in my life. During the 60s and 70s when I was in college, clearly being black was dominant when I helped to integrate Millsaps College. My gender didn't come into play. My gender came into play when I went to the University of Wisconsin, 6 months pregnant with my first son, and the professors pretty much told me that there was no way they thought I could get a PhD and have a family. And so that played very much into my academic life. But I persevered and ended up getting both my master's and my PhD. And I think, quite candidly, in corporate America, I've been confronted with both race and sexual harassment. And maybe that played a little bit more sexual harassment, because I have been denied promotions irrespective of my performance in corporate America.
You know, you have certainly hit some roadblocks, and very big ones, but you've persevered and gone through. What would you suggest to folks that are hitting roadblocks? You must have had a tremendous amount of self-confidence, or, you know, what told you to keep going?
Well, you know, I talk about in my book, I think there are three things. One, no matter what your station in life, no matter your place of birth, no matter your skin color or your gender, you know, you don't let those things define you. And so that's the first thing. Do not allow other people to impose a definition of who you are. Secondly, I spend a lot of time getting to know Janice Ellis. I think you need to know your skill sets, your strengths, your weaknesses. And you know very well when you've done well or when you haven't. And that's an ongoing process. So know yourself. And then, to be quite candid with you, I am grounded in my faith and my value set. My parents, despite the horrendous disrespect and oppression they suffered, do you know they never told me how to view the oppressor, the white people in my life? So I've kept an open mind. I don't walk in a room and assume that everybody I see that's not who doesn't look like me, I don't presume that they are racist. So I think we have to be very careful with how we encounter people and how we make judgments, because we limit ourselves probably more so than the person we are judging.
Wow. It's so wonderful to talk to you, and you have just such a great perspective, and it's quite the privilege for you to share your life story with all of us. Wow, I just keep thinking about your mom, too. What a blessing to have her. What'd you say? She 101?
Yes, she was 101. She died last summer. And I must tell you, I wrote my first chapter on in my book about 30 years ago. And a couple of years ago, she kept saying, Janice, when are you going to finish the book? I'm not going to live forever. So I made up my mind I needed to finish the book, and I would send chapters to her to read as I completed them. And she would say, oh, are you going to put that in the book? And I would say, yes, Mother, but you have to know it has a good ending, that no matter how tough our life was, no matter how tough my life has been as a single mom, and confronting racism and sexism along the way, it still, there's a happy ending. So, yes, she was a great inspiration for me.
That's just wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. The book is From Liberty to Magnolia, In Search of the American Dream. We have on the line Dr. Janice Ellis, and we're about out of time. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Yes, I think, you know, in addition to the dual message to women and minorities about no matter how tough we find it as we navigate American society, the larger question is, and the larger message is, America as a nation needs to revisit, face the facts of the past. We don't have to assign blame, but let's move forward and make sure that every person who works to achieve the American dream has a fair and equal chance of doing so.
Wow, well said. Well said. I'm so happy we were able to connect. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, and we look forward to hearing more from you. You take care.
Oh, thank you, Jean. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.